We're going to look today, the title of the lesson, And the Rest. Chris read from a passage in Philippians. He started in verse 1, but I'm going to focus on just verse 3, where, like Chris said, Paul is encouraging the Christians here in Philippi. There was some personal struggles they were having. He was encouraging them. He was uplifting them, instructing them. And in verse 3 he says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel." They were at odds. And he was asking them to be of the same mind and to help settle any strife that they were going through. And he's reminding them, these women labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also. And the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. When I was reading, there's not too many times that I sit down and read the Bible that I don't go to Philippians. And I was reading this. I've read it I don't know how many times. But this phrase, "and the rest," literally jumped out at me recently. And I started thinking about all the people that assisted Paul in his works. It's safe to say, chances are, none of us will ever accomplish the things the Apostle Paul did. Paul is just, he's up on a pedestal. Shouldn't be, he's a servant of the Lord. But the things he did tirelessly, for years, the hardships he endured. We look up to Paul. We're inspired by Paul. We're encouraged by Paul. And rightly so. But most of us, I know me, I will fall into the category "and the rest." Maybe not mentioned by name, but they still served. Amen. We can be like that. And the rest, it says, of my fellow workers. And he puts in whose names are in the book of life. That's all we need to know. We don't have to be mentioned by name. We don't have to be held up in esteem. Just the fact that we're recognized as one of the fellow workers and that our names are in the book of life. Man, what an accomplishment. Now, there are some I would like to look at, and if you picked up an outline, I've got some people that wind up being some of those rest that greatly aided Paul. One of them was Timothy. When I think of Paul, I think of Timothy, and vice versa. They were as close as a father and a son. And the many times that Paul mentions Timothy, calling him a true son in the faith, a beloved son, faithful son in the Lord, a fellow worker, bondservant, and so forth. He's mentioned numerous times. Timothy was one of Paul's right-hand men and played a major role in just a couple of chapters before this in Philippians, in chapter 2, he says, he's writing to these people, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." Paul had not figured out how to replicate DNA, where he could make another one of himself to be three different places at once. And he says, "I'm going to send Timothy because I want to be encouraged to find out how you're doing." Amen. "I'm going to send Timothy to him." And he goes on to say, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. I can't be in two places at once, so I'm going to send the next best thing to me. I'm going to send Timothy. There's nothing Timothy would tell you that I wouldn't tell you. There's nothing that he would do that I wouldn't do. I can't be there, but I'm going to send Timothy." In the last recorded book that we have record of Paul writing, while he's awaiting execution, he's not moaning his fate. He's not planning his escape tunnel and all that stuff. He's still teaching and preaching. And in 2 Timothy 4, he's writing to Timothy. He says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." One of the last things that Paul is writing about, "I need you, Timothy. Come quickly. I don't know how much longer I've got. I could be executed at any moment. Come quickly. I need you here with me. I've still got work to do, and you're going to do it." Another "and the rest" is Mark. Mark had actually abandoned Paul back in Acts 15. In fact, it caused a rift between Paul and Barnabas. They had worked very closely together, and they started taking Mark with him, but Mark, for whatever reason, didn't want to continue. And Paul and Barnabas split ways over it. One of the great examples of Christian behavior here. Whatever caused it, they were reconciled later. Whatever the reason, they were reconciled, and we see Paul praising Mark in Colossians. And he requested, the verse we just read, he requested Timothy to get Mark and bring him, for he's useful to me for ministry. What a wonderful turnaround story. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, it doesn't have to stay like that. You have a rift with somebody, it doesn't have to stay like that. It can be patched up. You find yourself the cause of something, you can repent and change. Toward the end, years later, Paul is saying, "Timothy, get Mark. He'll be helpful to me." There was a time when he wasn't. but he grew, he changed. Tychicus, he was one of Paul's traveling companions, mentioned in a number of places. He calls him in Ephesians a beloved brother and faithful minister. Wow. That wouldn't be too bad for any of us to be called. A beloved brother and faithful minister. And then in Colossians, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant. We should be proud to have that on any of our tombstones. A beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant. Epaphras, one of those and the rest. He's called our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He's called a bond servant. And in Philemon, my fellow prisoner. It wasn't enough to just help Paul. He's going to jail with Paul. He's not just bringing him some stuff while he's suffering in jail. He's going to jail with him for his service. Onesimus, the key figure in the book, the letter written to Philemon. Onesimus was a runaway slave, and Philemon had owned him. He had run away and became a Christian and a servant to Paul, assisted Paul in his ministry. And in Colossians, Paul calls him a faithful and beloved brother. What a wonderful reminder that we can serve God in any and every state that we're in. Whether we're a servant, a fugitive, a runaway, an aristocrat, whatever, we can serve God. Aristarchus traveled with Paul, mentioned a number of times, called a fellow prisoner and a fellow laborer. A laborer, people that put in the work. He wasn't scared of working. He wasn't scared of being a laborer for God. Maybe not a lot of acclaim. Never matched up to maybe a Paul. But it's called a fellow laborer. Paul put his work in too. Not just the fanfare, he put the work in. In 2 Timothy, we see a name, Demas. Demas had worked with Paul. I think one of the saddest accounts in the Bible to me, right up there with like Judas. I think of what benefit Demas could have had to other people. He had traveled, helped Paul for years. He had worked with Paul in Philemon. He's called a fellow laborer. But in 2 Timothy, in that passage that we looked at, Paul's saying, come to me quickly, Timothy. He says, Demas has forsaken me. If we've been in the church for any length of time, I'm sure we can think of Demases that we've known. Servants, workers, faithful in attendance that have loved this present world and have fallen away. What a wonderful reminder. It's not just a reminder, it's a jab to the ribs. Don't be a Demas. None of us be a Demas. A year from now, none of us. It's so sad, so-and-so fell away. Don't be a Demas. Having loved this present world has left. In Matthew 6, talking about loving this present world, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, and when I say a charitable deed, I'm equating that to when you're doing service for God. Demas did service for God. For some reason, he fell away. He loved the present world more. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe the work that he had done was to be seen by men, to be seen with Paul. I don't know. I don't want to project something that may or may not be there that's not in Scripture. But Jesus says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Make sure everybody knows what I'm doing. It can be the greatest work in the world, but if you're doing it and making sure, does everybody see what I'm doing? You're doing it for the glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Jesus deals with the same issue, the same attitude, three different times. He deals with it with charitable deeds and prayers and fasting. Whatever it is you're doing, if you're serving God, don't be doing it to be seen by men or for worldly rewards. Demas, for whatever reason, went back to the world. And the call of Christ wasn't strong enough to keep him. In Hebrews 6:10, God knows what we do. We don't need to sound that trumpet, as Jesus said. We don't need to toot our own horn. We're servants, not band members, tooting our own horn. The Hebrew writer says in 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. All of those people that do a little or a lot, God knows. God appreciates whether we're a Paul or one of the rest. God knows. At the end of 2 Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, I have fought the good fight. This is the end. My fight's over. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is, not I sure hope, crossing my fingers, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He's not just going to give me that crown of life. He's giving it to the rest also, whose names are in the book of life. We have to make sure our names are in the book of life and stay in the book of life and not be a Demas. I'll be happy. I know I'll never be a Paul. I know I'll never be an Apostle Peter. My two big heroes in the Bible. I'll be happy to be one of and the rest. But those rest, they get that reward in heaven just like Paul did. And we can be and the rest. Those of us that have put our Lord on in baptism, those of us that continue to serve, not, well, I did this and this and then fell away. Unfortunately, Demas won't get that reward. But we can be the rest. If you need to respond to the invitation to put your Lord on in baptism and be part of the kingdom, we have the opportunity today. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you have sin in your life and you need to repent, I urge you, repent. Don't let anything stand between you and God. Isaiah 59:2, our iniquities separate us from God. And we don't want that to happen. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known when we stand and sing.